Hello and welcome to Zbroilcast, the English language for after but no podcast that nobody asked for. I remain to be seen if I'm David.
Hello, my name is Mr. Snrub and I come from someplace far away. Yes, that'll do.
What do you want to do on this podcast, Mr. Snrub?
Well, I would like to talk to you, dear listener, about the various adventures of Zbroilka Brno on Sunday and the next fortnight of games.
I like the way Snrub thinks.
That worked.
You can tell I was not prepared for that to be the intro, and you were barely prepared yourself, I see.
I'm running with it.
Good.
I think they should, if they don't know that my name is Sam and your name is David by now, I don't think they care.
That's true. I mean, we say it at the end as well, so if they've been brave enough to get all the way to the end, then that's, you know, it's just a little Easter egg there. Yeah. Before the Czech version of an English language music song play out, which we don't mention enough, and I think people turn off before then. Not due to dreadful content, of course, but, you know, they're quite long, an hour to go. But you'll be happy to hear that in a very not particularly packed programme tonight, the international break messed us up a bit, so we're sort of slightly wonky. Normally we've got two match reports and two previews. We've only got one match report this week. But we're also preparing for the winter break, which is coming up, which is 3 months long, unfortunately. And do not fret, do not worry, do not rend thy hair or beat thy chest in supplication, for we are starting to think of topics for kind of one-off specials, maybe 20 minutes or half an hour that we can do every couple of weeks. We've got a couple of things lined up. I am going to be looking at the Czech Republic's ultimately doomed 2004 European Championship campaign with that wonderful team they've got there. You've got a bit more Zbroilka in Europe history, I
yes,
think.
For listeners of first podcast, we've had too much to talk about recently.
We have, yeah.
So trying to make it a bit more, say, friendlier to people who might not really care about Zbroilka, but listen out of nothing more than sheer loyalty.
Yeah, and when they're jogging. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
So yeah, we are going to do a couple of them. We've got a couple of guests lined up that we'd like to interview over the winter break. So our question to you is, if any of you out there, dear listeners, have any ideas of what you would particularly fancy hearing about, it can be in a Zbroilka context, it can be in a Czech league context, it can be a wider thing, the Czech national team, it could be about one particular player who you took a liking to, or somebody that, you know, there was a bit of a fad for long-haired Czech wingers in the 90s in English football. So anything, any ideas that you might have that you might quite fancy or listen to, get in touch with us. We're on Facebook at Zbroilvcast, and we're on Twitter at Zbroilvcast as well. So get in touch and we'll see what we can do.
Yes, you can also, if you don't have good internet or are over the age of 75, you can also email us at zbroilvcast@gmail.com.
That's true. But before any of that, we've got a match report which I'm not massively looking forward to, as we look back to Sunday's game about party pooping northern defence lovers FK Banik Sokolov.
Nice, I like that.
So yeah, Sunday night saw a packed crowd of, what, 1,500, do you reckon?
Yeah, under 2K for sure.
Yeah.
It's quite nippy.
It was. It's getting a bit brisk now. We've come to the end of the Indian summer in the Czech Republic.
The nights are fair drawing in.
They are. I mean, we're recording this at 6:45 and it's dark outside now. Right. So yeah, it's happened very quickly. But yeah, a crowd of not very many witnessed a spectacular 0-0 draw between
don't spoil it for everyone.
Zbroilka and Banik Sokolov. Sorry, I mean, it really was all that anyone was talking about on Monday.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, we, I mean, the Zbroilvcast stroke gentleman ultras contingent was, there was a couple of us. There was you, me, there was your dad.
Yeah,
it's your dad.
My dad was there. My dad far more complimentary about Zbroilka than I was.
He's not used to it, and Aberdeen are pretty dreadful this season.
Time and a place, David. I mean, yes.
Sorry, I'm just wallowing in the bliss of Coventry winning two games back to back. What a time to be alive, indeed. Yeah, hitting the heady heights of what, ninth in League One or tenth, something like that. Good lord, yeah. Eye bleeding territory. So yeah, it was 0-0, and we said before this, we just wing it, and I can't really think of anything to say. It was pretty dreadful.
Okay, well, let's. Well, first of all, we lined up particularly strong, actually, and that was made
pretty much
quite
the strongest side we could put out, I think.
You know, Barish back in the middle as well with Stepanovski and Bartolomeu on the wings.
Yeah.
The usual good pairing of Magera and Rusek at up front. And really, I'm sure at some point in the next 30 seconds we will cut to play the halftime analysis, which will say a lot more than I can right now.
Yeah.
But very little happened in the first half.
I basically don't remember a single... There were a couple of long-range hits. Bartolomeu had a go. Mm-hmm. I think Barish had a go. Magera ran about looking slightly frustrated.
At one point, Sokolov got one-on-one and Pavlik was able to basically sprint past.
That yes, I remember that. That was
good defending.
I've never seen him move that quickly.
I know, right?
Yeah. So that was the first half, and this is what we thought. Spot the most optimistic man in this entire crowd here. It's Pavel, by the way. Okay, so it's half-time here, and it's 0-0 between Zborovka and Sokolov. We are joined by Sir Alistair Beaton. That's Sam's dad. We've got Tom here, and we've also got Pavel Matsku. Used to be regular, now not quite so much. You can't wave. They can't see you, you know that. As first-time Zborovka comer, Al, what do you reckon?
It's been excellent. it's been as good as the Scottish Premier League, and as an Aberdeen supporter for many years, I can see strong parallels.
That's dreadful. Pav, what do you reckon?
I think we've been dominating so far, so we're going to win this game. I'm pretty sure we're going to win.
We've been dominating in terms of possession, but we haven't really done anything with it. What do you reckon, Sam?
Did anything happen that half, David? I wasn't sure.
Almost nothing.
I had a couple of pints and I was feeling good. I think we've been sort of knocking on the door in some ways. We were incredibly lucky that Pavlik was able to get back because there was a Sokolov one-on-one at one point, which I think Pavlik raced back and was able to...
and kind of stuffed out.
But I mean, it's a bit sort of... To use a more Scottish phrase, footery. Like, it's a bit like tippy-tappy, trying to pass it to someone you can just take a shot on. It's not really been great viewing, I'd say.
It really hasn't. Tom, anything to add? I mean, you came all the way from Bratislava for a 6 p.m. kickoff.
Shout out to you. I
don't think it's been as bad as that, actually. I think it's been...
What game have you been watching?
They've been on top. The kind of thing that concerns me is that, you know, with so much, you know, so much possession of the ball, they haven't really done much with it. I mean, I think at the moment they'll look like they're going to win, but I think if they don't score within the next 20 minutes or the next, you know, once it kicks off, I reckon a 0-0's on the card, or, you know, maybe even... Lest we say it, a 1-0 defeat.
I would agree with the analysis if we don't score, we won't win.
Let's hope for the best.
Hashtag analysis there.
And it's cold tonight as
it
well.
It is cold. It is cold.
Stunning amounts of optimism.
Yeah, so that was half time. And in the second half, we huffed and we puffed, but. Sokolov, they spent almost their entire time with 11 men in their own half. They had clearly come to play for the point.
Yeah. So would I.
Yeah. We're historically... Recently, we haven't been very good at breaking teams down.
Mm-hmm.
We were not good at it last year, and we haven't been good at it this year. It's strange, because you mentioned before the game, you think we've got one of the strongest squads in the league, and I agree.
I keep saying this, and every week I just keep going...
No, but I agree, you see. And I also think that it is improving. It's just the utter rigidity they had under Pivarnik, they're struggling to lose, which means teams are still realising if you put 10 men behind the ball, we will do exactly what happened here, which is we'll huff and we'll puff and we'll we'll just really struggle. We're not quite out of our shell enough yet.
Yeah, here's the rub, right? If you want the good news, actually, because I keep banging on about our defence, basically, we have had 3 clean sheets in 4.
Yep.
And that one where we did not keep a clean sheet was against a team in a higher division. That's good.
Yeah.
On the other hand, in terms of breaking teams down, you're exactly right, because also in that time, in 4 games, we have scored a grand total of 1 goal.
Yeah. The one interesting thing in the second half was, a fairly creative use of substitutes, going from a proper proper 4-4-2 to more of a 4-3-3, I would say. They substituted 2 wingers, but only brought on 1. There was a straight swap up front after an hour, which was Magera for Zekel. Then they lost both wingers. Stepanovski went off and was replaced by Musefi Ashiru. And Robert Bartolomeu went off and was replaced by Dan Yambor, who is more of a central midfielder. So, sort of, it was a strange sort of layout. Ashiru was given pretty much free rein, wasn't he? He was just let loose to run at them.
I think he was one of the only positives of this match.
He was very good when he came on, wasn't he?
I thought he was at least trying to ask something.
Yeah.
And was running and trying to, overlap and things like that, but everyone else was just a bit frozen. And that's probably more because the Sokolov basically just man-marked everybody out of the game quite effectively.
Yeah. Like I said, they came with a game plan. Mm-hmm. They executed it perfectly. The only regret was we only got to see Stander Vavra quite late. Of the former Zbrojovac mentioned 2 weeks ago, Petr Glazer started, and Stander Vavra came on, still looking as comfortable with being a footballer as a horse would look if you put him in charge of a bicycle, which I'm still very happy about. That makes me, it makes me feel like anyone could be a footballer.
He was never going to come on and change anything with the way that Sokolov were playing.
No.
To be fair to him, but then on the other hand, like Zekel was so effective in his role for the last half hour that I completely forgot that he was ever on the pitch until you mentioned the subs now.
It's we've said it before, we'll say it again. It's too early for him. Rusek has made the step up. Zekel, utterly invisible. I think he only came on, in my opinion, because Magera was. He wasn't getting a sniff. He was being marked out of it, wasn't he?
Is one of his dads the coaching staff or something? Is that how he gets on?
Know.
Is that like, oh, you got to give my son a go? Got to give, go on. All right, 15 minutes. All right, half an hour.
It's strange. Maybe this is a kind of changing of the guard. We're seeing this generation Stander Vavra. They came to sort of, give him a guard of honour. Carry on. Carry on. It's your turn to be the useless non-scoring centre forward.
Is this like a whole Generation Y sort of thing where all young people now, can't afford to buy houses because they eat too many avocados, and on the other hand, they're all shite at football and Czech leagues?
Well, Zekel and Vavra certainly are part of Generation Y. On that bombshell.
Well, on that bombshell, we should actually have a quick shout out to the wonderful choreography.
Yes, I forgot we were going to mention that, weren't we? There was a lot of choreo. If you don't know what that means, that's the big fan displays. Yeah. Not like displays of air wafting equipment, but displays by the fans.
Yeah, it's like Oreos, but takes more time to put together.
Yeah. So they had 3 separate gigantic crowd-covering banners, didn't they?
Yes.
One for the 100th anniversary of the
independent Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, exactly. And then Moravia?
Yeah, one for the greatest land.
Yeah, this land is my land.
This land is your land.
No, wait, it's my hand. No, wait, it's your hand.
I thought we were going to go the old Woody Guthrie thing, from down to Znojmo to the Czech Highlands.
No, I was doing the Friends version.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can tell this is I don't know, this is Smash Hits versus the Sunday Times Culture Supplement, I guess.
Oi. I'm top of the Pops magazine, if anything.
Okay.
So,
Forever Mojo.
So there was that lot, and the final one was just as Broavati.
10 years of the Boys.
Yeah, 10 years of the Boys indeed. So yeah, that was fairly spectacular.
It was nice. Yeah, really good photos from the club and from our pal Petter have gone online. And they're good.
I put them up on the Facebook page, so you can scroll back and have a look at those if you want. There's like 6 photos up there, and they're very, very nice. So, we are, after this musical interlude, we're going to look at a trip to Hradec Králové, which is coming up this coming weekend.
Hooray!
Hooray! And we're back with a preview of this Saturday's trip to Hradec Králové, the Queen's Castle. And... glory be, what do we see? A 5:15 Saturday evening kickoff.
Absolutely steaming from the train onwards. It's going to be... I'm told it's a very nice town. I think you know more about it, but I'm looking forward to this trip.
Yeah, me too.
Not looking forward to the game, but looking forward to the trip.
Yeah. I'm going to say hello if she is listening. I don't know whether she does listen, but to Bara from my office, who I will now force to listen to this, because she... initially was going to, like, she's from Hradec Králové, she was going to meet us there and show us about, but she is very nicely preparing us a map and a list of things to do and places to go drinking and eating, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, she realised I was coming, so I had to get KB it.
Yeah, she's sodding off to Yihlava instead, actually.
Oh, for the festival?
Yeah, to the festival.
Oh, she sounds like the sort of person that I would get on very well with.
She is, actually. Yeah.
Best documentary festival in all the land is at Yihlava, it's particularly good.
Yeah, so we're not going there, we're going slightly further north to, as I said, Hradec Králové. It's not a big place, it's about 95,000 people, and it is next to Pardubice. We go on the train to Pardubice, then you change, and then it's about 15 or 20 minutes on a little local stopping train down the road to Hradec. It was a royal castle, or a Queen's Castle, as I mentioned, from the 15th and 16th century, because it was on something called the Golden Ride, which was between here and southern Poland.
I think a sexual version of the Golden Shot.
That's what it was called.
The
Golden Ride, because it went up from the lush and fertile plains, it continues, of that part of the world, up through the Krkonosha Mountains and into Poland. Because it was part of I can't remember which Polish dynasty had a castle there. But are you quite finished?
The Golden Ride. No, it's just like
all be taking Golden Ride.
It just sounds like, you know, sort of an old like blog spot update from like a 15-year-old virgin about almost losing it. Golden Ride.
I don't know how to respond to that. Okay. Well, I'm gonna carry on with this little bit of history.
Please.
It has a very, very large town square, which is triangular, like the one here, and seems to be used as a car park, unfortunately. But there's that. The stadium, I've been there, you haven't.
Yeah.
I went there last year. I went by car. I was driven up by Paruka Lukasz, the megaphone guy, the like head of the ultras section. He was driving up, so I got a lift up with him, and we went purely to the stadium and then came home again. So I didn't see any of the town itself. We went to the stadium. It's a very old, like 1940s, late 40s, early 50s stadium. Doesn't look like it's been improved at all since then. It used to have a running track, now doesn't. It's just grass. But there is no roof over the away section. You are on an incredibly shallow bowl structure, so it's very, very hard to see the far side of the pitch. It rained the entire game and it was 0-0. So that's my glorious memories of that absolute disaster of a day out. This one will hopefully be better. Might not rain, exactly. And, you know, a 0-0 on current trend. might be exactly what we're preparing ourselves for. Yeah, that's about it on Hradec Králové. We will report back though, because like I said, neither of us have been to the town proper. Oh, it's the home of Petrov pianos. I can give you that as well.
I might just be making this up entirely. I heard something about doing up the stadium or renovating it.
Yeah, that's been around for quite a long time, as far as okay. I'm aware. That sounds familiar, because there's also our doing up the stadium that's never happening. Yeah.
So yeah. We'll still be under the lollipops.
We'll still be Podlezapki, yes, under the lollipops, as it's known, due to the shape of the floodlights. Google it, you'll see why. Anyway, any team preview news? What do we know about these brave Hradec Královalians?
Well, David, they're better than us.
Well, that's true.
Yes, they're third. They're 3 points off top.
Mm-hmm.
Jihlava back in top for now, everybody. Second, Česká Budějovice, who they lost to at the weekend 3-1.
Yep.
Also lost to Chrudim.
Chrudim!
Oh.
Local derby, though, that.
But, yes. So, that would have been, I'm sure, a pleasant experience losing to Chrudim. They beat Jihlava, though, and they battered Žižkov 4-0, which is something I would love to see us do.
We're going to get shit on, aren't we, here?
Well, this is the thing. We scored more than them. They've obviously conceded less than us. What is the deciding factor in our fortunes in this, basically, is that they win away games. We draw them. Yeah. We have far more draws than them. And I think they've drawn 3 times, something right. like that, but they've won like 5 or 6. We're still on 3 wins.
Yeah.
But about 5 draws, so or something along those lines. We've not had a chance to talk about one of these for a few weeks. They've got a shite Brazilian, David.
Yay! Love a shite Brazilian.
Yes, Wesley da Silva.
Wesley da Silva?
Yes.
I'm sceptical about that, but okay.
Yes, he hasn't played
much. Although, this is very much with the kind of trend as it is now of... giving Brazilians of a sort of a fairly young age crap sort of 1940s English names.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Fred. You know, there's a I can't bring any to mind right now, but there is a strange phenomenon right now. Wesley sits quite nicely in there.
Uh-huh. So. Oh, come on, this is the Czech league, David. He's not young.
Do we know how old he is?
I can't remember. I can look it up very quickly on the phone while talking at the same time.
All right, you do that.
Skill.
While you do that, I will briefly mention the 3 crap Brazilians Zbrojovka had.
Yes.
And they have all had incredibly bizarre careers. We had Elton Lira, and we had another one. Who was it? It was Elton Lira, and I cannot... I was just going to do it, and they've completely gone. Oh, well. That shows how good they were.
Well, that...
They really stuck in my head there.
That killed a few seconds, because I'll have him up now. Wesley da Silva.
Wesley da Silva, Wesley da Silva. If they don't sing that, I'm going to be furious.
You know what? I'm wrong. He's 22.
Oh, there you go.
He's just been around for a while, because he scored once in 3 years.
Oh, is he a forward?
Yes.
Right. Good.
We'll come back to him shortly.
Okay.
None of the strikers look great. The midfield is decent. Top scorer is a very strange name for, I think, for a Czech person. Adam Vilkanova. You heard that correctly.
Vilkanova?
Ova.
Okay.
No long A, but Vilkanova. He scored 4. So he's their top scorer in the midfield. A squad mainstay, been there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Their big experienced guy is Milan Černý, former Slavia Prague.
Mm-hmm.
He's got lots of first league experience, and he's got a few titles under his belt.
Yep.
Also had a wee stint at Sivasspor in Turkey, so he's no mug.
Mm.
So they're solid enough, but quite an interesting team.
Dalmo, he was the other one.
Dalmo.
Yeah, it finally came back to me.
Dalmo.
Yeah, not.
Sounds like a plastics company.
All right. Yeah, I mean, he was about as useful as just... If he'd have put a piece of plastic moulded into the shape of a human on the field, he probably would have been more useful. Sorry.
It just came
screaming back to me like a terrible nightmare.
Here's an interesting thing about them. In their last three games, they've played a 4-4-2 and two different variations of 4-5-1.
Right.
Which have included things like defenders going up to play more defensive midfield roles.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, having either like Da Silva as a lone striker. He started...
That's gone well.
Started one game and I think that was it. Or their star, Russian former Krasnodar 2 player, Vorobyev. And I suspect that they are frustrated by the lack of goals coming from up front. So they're trying to switch things around every so often. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking even weird sort of like 4-5-1s, but it's more like a, you know, sort of a 4-2-3-1 sort of thing. Or a classic one with wingers. So they're obviously looking for a way to make it work. At the same time, they're third.
Yeah, it is a strange one because the amount of different formations and different ways have been using players. It does seem like they've just thrown all the cards up in the air and seen where they've landed, but then there has to be more of a plan than that, because that's not an accident that they're now third.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it just might be literally everyone they've played has had a really bad day, which is also possible.
Yeah, I mean, probably actually that would explain their embarrassment in the cup to Olympia Radotin.
That's true. And also that loss to Chrudim just now. Chrudim
do not look good.
No. I mean, they were ropey when they came here. Yeah. And they look like... I mean, they're really struggling. So, yeah. So, well, we'll see. We shall... As I say, we'll report back in 2 weeks on this glorious fixture. A lovely...
Is there anything you'd like to see happening in the game?
I'd like to see Ashiri some more. It's really nice to see him back because he has struggled with injury quite a lot, and it was good to see him buzzing about quite happily. Maybe a little more adventure from central midfield. Weirdly, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Yambor starting in place of Krij or Krejci alongside Barish. I think that would be an interesting... I think having maybe those two on one side, Yambor and Ashiru, and then Bart and Barish would be quite interesting.
Well, that is interesting. I mean, that's one thing we didn't actually say earlier on, is Bartolomeu did not look that great on Sunday.
Yeah, him and 10 others. And we are back. Before we start this next section, a little correction, because in the break I googled the names of our three former Brazilian players. They are Elton Lira, not Elton and Lira. They were so indistinct from each other and all so dreadful, I had forgotten their individual names. It was Elton Lira, Leo and Dalmo, all of whom have had careers I am journalistically obliged to refer to as nomadic, including one who signed for Bono from Juventus, but not the Juventus you're thinking of. A Juventus who play, I believe, in Sao Paulo in some 4,000 capacity stadium, and whose club nickname is the Prankster Boys.
Yes. Any nickname that has boys after it, I just think it's wild. I don't know why.
Walnut Boys.
The Walnut Boys is good.
Next break, we are going to look into that, because we promised we would and we never did.
Oh, yes, of course.
So, yeah, the Walnut Boys will have to be looked into.
And then we were talking, was it the last podcast we were talking about a team called the Gingerbread Men? There's like a team called the Gingerbreads and there's one called the Gingerbread Men.
The Gingerbread Men, yes. And it was the Gingerbread Derby two weekends ago on non-league weekend, actually.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Gingerbread Derby. But we digress, because we have come, gentle listener, to Beer of the Podcast. This week's beer has...
Fancy, fancy bottle.
Has one of these. It's
tinnitus. It's got tinnitus.
It's one of those flippy bottle caps popularised by Grolsch, when that was incredibly fashionable, because it made them look posh, because they had these flippy cap thing.
Yeah, trying to mask the realization that Dutch beer is shite.
Yeah. So what we've got here is...
Sorry, Mark.
It's from the Kutnahora Brewery, which is the place with the bone church, is it not?
Yes, it is the place with the ossuary.
Yeah, the ossuary. It's from the city brewery, and it's called Loretska, and it is a 14-degree beer, which means it is a 6%.
It's filtered, it's pasteurized, it's going to be a big surprise. It's Kutnahora Loretska, 14.
It's not that big of a surprise, I just said all that, but, you know.
I was just trying to contribute, David.
You're doing well. Thanks. I like the Hradec Králové team thing. That was good.
Thanks.
That was good.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
I'm just glad someone out there, you know.
I'm looking forward to your Vitkovitsa preview. Don't get all worked up.
I just sometimes don't think people appreciate me.
You're more appreciated than I am. At least you know something about football. And you know, you do your research rather than just blasting through it like I do.
But that's because my job's boring. Anyway.
Anyway, on that belt of brutal honesty.
I hope it goes dink.
Dink. Clinky, adorable bottle tops. Right, there we go.
I just realise I've got no sense of smell these days, so I just smell it as if going, oh, is it? It's just like, it just smells like everything in my life,
well,
nothing.
It smells quite sweet because it's slightly stronger than the lagers we normally have.
Ooh,
Lord.
Ooh. Oh, I'm not sure.
What on earth is going on there?
That's... Oh,
ooh,
it's...
criminy.
It's so sweet.
It's very, very sweet, isn't it? Oh, dear me. I'm not sure what to say about, apart from those noises we both just made. I don't know whether it'll come, because we started with quite a nice sort of a basic lager called Hubertus, which is, you know, I bought purely for the slightly comedy name, but this...
No, I don't like that.
No?
I'll drink it, but...
It does get better. Slightly.
Yeah.
It's still very honey-y, though.
It's the honey thing that's getting me. It's the sort of the cloying sweetness of it.
I mean, the label has got pictures of hops and hops and hops and yellow. So that should have been the clue.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it's very, very honey-y. Hence, I mean, that might be something to do with the yellow. I don't know. It tastes of a church full of bones and disappointment.
I mean... In its defence, 6%.
I mean, they always get sweeter when you get stronger, don't they? You get those really strong dark beers that are just incredibly sweet to mask the taste of the alcohol.
I mean, let me tell you about something called Tennant Super.
Gather round, children.
It's not so sweet. But by God, it does the job.
Is it super?
No, but my favourite thing about Tennant Super is it's drunk by... three groups of people.
Right, can I guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Scots.
Okay, give me your three.
No, I'm going to say students.
Okay.
Hobos.
Uh-huh.
And ironically by hipsters.
Oh, okay. My list is drunks.
Right.
My dad.
Right.
If there's
is
no,
he a group?
If there's no special brew and stuff available,
yeah, right.
Shout out Dad. And this is great, Italians. Tennant Super...
Is better than all Italian beer.
...is seen as a premium international lager in Italy. And it's got special bottles and stuff. And hip people in, like, Milan go drink it outside the, you know, the bistros and the, uh-huh. and the pubs and stuff like that. And they go, ooh... Ooh, Tennant Super.
Do they?
I found this out.
Is that the noise thing?
Found this out, much to my surprise, while being in Italy once.
I can imagine, that is odd.
And I think I asked about 10 people, like, why? And everyone was like, it's a good beer. And ever since then, I've not really trusted Italians on the subject of drinks, even though their wine is quite good.
Their wine is good, but their beer is their beer is dreck. I mean, if you ever drink Nastro Azzurro,
I was going to say Nastro Azzurro is okay.
It's not. It's very, very fizzy. It doesn't really taste of anything.
It's cheap and sort of does the job. I mean, like Tennant Super, I guess.
There you go, you see. That's, yeah.
I mean, but at least Azzurro is not pretending to be something that it's not, like Birra Moretti or something is. Where it's trying to be, oh, look at all this homely, oh, you know, the heart of Italia also does beer, and it's just sort of like, yeah, it's just beer, I guess, but it's also not worth £6 a pint.
It's the same way, though, that Stella Artois have all those posh marketing campaigns in the UK, you know, convincing you that
it's not just about the domestic violence.
Exactly. You know, oh, your adverts, you know, filmed in soft focus and it's all in French. It's got to be classy.
It's not a glass, it's a chalice. Fuck off.
Enough of that.
Fuck off, Stella. Like, I mean, of the land of good beer, Belgium, you know, you're getting towards the Vauxhall Conference of Belgian beers here, you know?
The Vauxhall Conference, by the way, is a great old school show. It hasn't been the Vauxhall Conference for decades now, but I'll always like that.
Be the Vauxhall Conference.
Right. So that's beer of the podcast. That was interesting. We will continue to, you know, in the pursuit of truth and journalistic integrity, we will continue to drink this until the end of the podcast.
But also because you bought it for me.
Well, that's true.
If not polite, it's like, you know, when you were a kid and you went around to someone's house for tea.
Yeah.
And your mum was like, even if their food's shite, make sure you eat it and be polite.
Aye.
This is the beer version of that.
Thanks.
I just turned 30.
Yeah, happy birthday to Sam for last week, by the way. This is, you know, people bought you microphones and t-shirts and stuff. I got you a couple of dreadful beers.
The rooftop shouted out,
"Baby, I'm ready to go." That's a good late 90s. Who was that? Republica.
Mm-hmm. Not sure.
Yeah. Oh, well. Vidkovice are the next jolly party coming to town in a couple of weeks' time. They are from Ostrava.
Yeah, there was you thinking that everyone from Ostrava was an arsehole, but no, there's a second team there.
Are they arseholes as well?
No. The no, these are the nice Ostravans.
Okay.
The nice Ostravazi.
Yeah. More known for their hockey club, Vidkovice.
Vidkovice Steel.
Vidkovice Steel. Exactly. So, yeah. They'll be here in a couple of weeks' time. What do we know about them?
Well, they're playing the same stadium as Banik right now.
That so presumably big soulless athletics.
Presumably round. They clean up for them.
Yeah, that's a weird stadium, actually, that one. Because, A, it's an athletic stadium. Mm-hmm. It's not really supposed to be a football ground.
Yeah.
It's too big for either of the teams, and it's in the middle of nowhere. It's a very, very strange stadium. But, yeah, enough of them. We might be going up
at some
point.
We're at home!
Point. Exactly. Yeah. We might be going up at some point, and we'll report back if we do. So what do we know about them, anyway?
Well, we know that they're very lucky to be in this league.
That's true.
Saved by the skin of another team's financial sheet. I think it was Olympia Praha / Radotin who ended up going down instead of them. Right, well, they're a point above us.
Yes.
In 7th, we're in 9th. 8th is, I forget, on goal difference. They're beating teams they're supposed to and losing to teams they're supposed to lose to. So, for out of a possible 18 points against the current top 5, which is, oh, on the spot, what's the current top 5?
Jihlava, Česká Budějovice, Hradec, mm-hmm. as we mentioned before.
Yep.
Then, ooh, crikey. This shows how much I keep up with the other teams in this league. Is Žižkov that high up?
No, Žižkov are... I mean, Žižkov are third bottom.
Right, have they plummeted? Okay, because they were sort of mid-table-ish earlier. I couldn't remember which way they'd gone. I don't know.
Obvious once you think about it. Our friends at Ústí nad Labem Pardubice.
Oh, of course.
So out of a possible... That was a bit cruel of me, actually.
Well, that was stupid of me. I should have guessed at least one of those, I think.
I mean, our Prague contingent wishes that Žižkov were fourth, but yeah. That's not going to happen because they're terrible. So...
beat us, though.
Out of... Yeah, but who hasn't beaten us at this point?
Crudine.
So yeah, so they've had a
you hear that? That's the sound of a barrel being scraped.
All right, so they've basically had a crack at the top 5-6 times. So out of a possible 18 points, they have won 3, and that's not because of a win. That's because of 3 draws.
Right.
So that's sort of telling you how it's going: 3 draws and 3 losses. They have not, well, aside from a cup game against the humongous Nový Jičín. They have not won away from home.
Right, okay.
So their away form is kind of bad. Remind you of any team? But we're at home, so it'll be fine. David Pašek plays for them
now. David Pašek. I remember that guy. He was all right.
5 years or something? I don't know why I went so high there. 5 years?
5 years.
Something like that, I think. He was there for ages. It's
Borovka. I liked him. I liked David Pašek. Solid.
He's still only 28.
That's unbelievable. I thought he's way older than
he's,
that.
He scored once this season in a... He's not really known for his goals, but he scored once against Varnsdorf in a 2-0 game, which makes up a significant proportion of Varnsdorf's conceded goals.
Yeah.
So he must be brilliant now. No, he's good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I liked him. I was always a fan when he was here.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Viktor Vits is, I believe, that one of like their physio or their head of social media or something like that follows us. So,
good. Hello.
I can't remember his name, but shout out to you. We're looking forward to beating your team.
Get that hubris. Can you spell hubris? Dear me.
Big yeah. Nothing says big Silesian presence like MFK Viktor Vits, by the way. everyone is former Baník, Opava, Třinec, Karviná.
Yeah.
Top scorer is a guy called Martin Matsey in his first season for the club.
Okay.
He's on loan from Baník.
Right. Is it... Okay, answer me this. Yes. Is the Vítkovice, Karviná, Baník thing like the Hrudín, Pardubice, Hradec thing where they just all players from each other.
Throw in a sprinkling Friedrich Místek you might be onto something. Yeah, like I was looking through the play. I always go through the players and their playing histories just to see where they've gone, see if, you know, who's come up, who's dropped down, who's starting off their career. And this is a big sort of circle between like about 4 teams. So, you know, Opava, Třinec, Karviná, occasionally Friedrich Místek, and there's someone else up there as well that just names escape me from Silesia.
Yeah, I think they play in white or blue or something. I don't know.
Every single team in this league plays in white or blue.
No, but like, you know,
Viktor Vítsa, you mean?
No, you know, Baroš used to play for them, and René Bolf, and they're named after them. They had a stadium called Basel something or other. Some team of horrible jokers.
Yeah, they had that huge stadium. No.
Yeah, which and you know, they're still in the top league, but I don't remember them really. They're just, you know, an irritating bunch of violent minors, basically. So I'm not even going to bother mentioning them by name. I've lost you, haven't I?
How have I forgotten this?
Well, you know.
Wait. Blue and white.
Yeah.
Playing her. Are you talking about Mladá Boleslav? You can't be.
No, I'm talking about Baník Ostrava.
I said Baník.
I'm not going to mention them by name.
Yeah. But I mean, that was what I was saying.
Oh, do you already say them?
Yeah. Because there's a triangulation between Baník Ostrava, Karviná, Opava, and potentially a Friedrich Místek for all the players.
Right.
The top scorers.
I don't know why I thought you missed them out.
You're thinking enough. I'm thinking of Baník Sokolov.
Very
because
possibly,
they're also
yes,
a shitey mining town.
Yeah.
But they're a Western
and
shitey
we
mining
played,
town.
Yes, and who we played. This is why I've still got them in my head, because I'm still confused as to why we couldn't beat them.
I was going to weird places in my head that I was like, Hmel Bilsani and stuff.
No. Also, by the way, I know Baník Sokolov is northwest. I know my geography well.
Yeah, I just thought you were making things up there.
No, I just clearly wasn't listening.
And so. Then I was going like, yeah, and I was going like, Slovatsko aren't in Silesia. Like,
No, I think that's just me purely also, not believe, listening properly.
Believe,
sorry about that.
I believe Slovatsko are also second bottom of the first league right now.
No, Slovatsko are stony, stark, stinking bottom now.
Worse than Dukla.
Yeah, worse than
Did
Dukla.
Did Dukla win or something at the weekend?
Yeah, Slovatsko are absolutely rock bottom as we speak. So there you go. That is quite funny. So, yeah, that's Vidkovica for you.
Yes, a team that we... Right, I'm calling it now, David.
Go on.
Putting down beer seriousness, have you heard
that's,
that?
That's, yeah.
In some respects, I believe that this game against Hradec Králové is going to be a little... Well, not irrelevant, but I think is not going to really define the season. We could get battered 5-0, we'll probably still do okay for the rest of the season. We could win 2-0 and we might still plod along or whatever. If we do not beat Vidkovice at home, I'm officially calling it that we are not getting up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. But, I mean, we've been saying this about playing piddling teams at home for a while now. And,
yeah, and every other week it's getting bigger. It was, oh, it's only 7 points. Oh, it's 8 points. It's now 10 points from the top.
And it's getting to the stage of the season where we reach the halfway point and we haven't beaten piddling teams at home and it's starting to look like
and who,
this is what's going
to
trip us up.
And who do we look forward to in the second half of the season? We look forward to league leaders away. We look forward to second place team away. Like, it's going to be particularly bad.
Yeah, much as we complained about the difficult opening period of fixtures, and they were tricky, to be fair, we balance them off with the assumption that we would be nobbling teams at home. And it just hasn't happened. So, but there's that.
This thing, we score a lot, but we score a lot in games that we also concede in. So we hit these 3-2s and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
like there was the 4-2 away at Viktorka. And we scored against Pardubice.
It's 3-2, Viktorka.
Yeah, sorry. And we scored against Pardubice.
You know, 1-0, which we should have probably won. We lost 2-1.
Yeah, it's all of that. And, like, and of course...
The two each, of course, with something and side act Vlashim.
Marks and Spencer's Vlashim, that's
I'll
right.
I'll take that.
And then four of our goals came the other week, didn't they?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's teams we should be scudding that we're not. That's what's going to cost us going forward. But enough of that. Let's have a Czech cover of an English language piece of music to play you out on.
David, I'm excited.
I know you're excited because we previewed this to ourselves a little bit before. We were trying to find something. This didn't immediately stand out, but the amount of Czech they have to get into what is a very, very lazy and one of the most leisurely, almost spoken word songs in the entire like history of English language pop music.
What's your favourite genre of music? Leisurely.
No, but seriously, this is one of the most famously laid back and like, you know, just chilled songs. And the amount of lyrics that have to go into this. This is, stick with it. You'll enjoy it. Let's play us out with that. As we said, if you have got any ideas for little mini documentaries you'd like to hear, or if you just feel like getting in touch to tell us where we went wrong, or abuse us, or compliment
send
us,
me memes.
That would be nice as well.
Send me memes.
Send Sam memes. Zbrojovcast on Facebook, at Zbrojovcast on Twitter.
Thanks for listening if you got this far.
Yeah. I'm me.
We still almost made this spin at an hour.
Yeah.
We talk too much.
Yeah.
See ya.
Nejspíš jsem měl dnes ráno přijít dřív. Šéf se nepřel, jen ke dveří mi kýv. Ze schodu mě vyprovodil, prý už nemá smysl, aby chodil, řekl mi zpívej a zkus se životu dál smát. řekl mi zpívej a zkus se životu dál smát. Řekl jsem si, to je snad dobrá zpráva. Stejně se mi nechce nikdy vstávat. Budu teď pořád u své milé, prožijeme krásné chvíle, budem si zpívat a zkoušet se životu dál smát. Budem si zpívat a zkoušet se životu dál smát. Zpívat si tu 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 tu. S veselou teď k vrátkům, milé, kráčím. Ona se však ku podivu mračí. Když chceš mě mít, tak musíš mít práci. Nejsi tu jen pro legraci, no tak si zpívej a zkus se životu dál smát. No tak si zpívej a zkus se životu dál smát. Oje. Řekl jsem si, to se musí zapít. Muž ve fraku však tvrdí, nejdřív platit. Říkám mu čím a už ven mě vedou. Perspektivu mám tu bledou a tak si zpívám a zkouším se životu dál smát. A tak si zpívám a zkouším se životu dál smát. Co mi zbývá, musím domů jít. Rozhlídnout jsem se však asi mohl líp. Pod autem jsem zůstal ležet, nemusím už nikam běžet, a tak si zpívám a zkouším se životu dál smát. A tak si zpívám a zkouším se životu dál smát. Zpívám si tu 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 tu